Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 24. Verse 16 down to verse 24. If you're able to stand with me, go ahead and stand at this time. And as I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, and again, we love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being there, as you are a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek you. And God, as we seek after you, you're there to be found. And you're there to be a help and a blessing to each and every one that seeks you. And I pray this morning, God, that we would do just that as we are seeking your message for this hour. Lord, just exactly how you would want to speak to us through this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers here in Thessalonica, he's also, God has preserved it for us. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write what God would have him to write and preserve for the church throughout this church age. And so it's for us to learn from as well. But in verse 23, his prayer to God was that they would be sanctified wholly and be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Unto the coming of the Lord. So for the remainder of their physical lives on earth, that is the remainder of their lives in every generation and every age since Christ himself came. He told us that he would return. And we know the way that he's going to return is he's going to return by, first of all, calling up the church. It's called the rapture of the church. And in every generation, as they were to live their lives as Christ was returning in their generation. Can I tell you that it's been 2,000 years, and as we look to what's taking place even in our society today, it is all the signs of the end times. It's all the signs that reveal to us that our Lord could return at any moment. But until he does, for the remainder of our physical lives on earth, this is how we are to live. No matter what it is we have to face in life, whatever trials we have to go through, we are to live this way. And it is to keep us sanctified for the Lord's purpose and allow us to be preserved blameless. This idea of being blameless is above reproach. It's not sinless, but it's above reproach. No cause for blame. As sinners, we are going to make mistakes and we're going to fail from time to time. But we have God's word that if we confess those sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as long as we have been cleansed, as we are being forgiven, then we are being preserved blameless. We are trying to live and looking to live above reproach and no cause for blame in my life. That's what he's talking about there. And the purpose of that, if you, Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 15, it says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Can I tell you that God would have every born-again believer to shine as lights for Christ in the world? And as we go through some of the trials of life, it gives us an opportunity as born-again believers to shine, to present God, to present Jesus Christ. It gives hope in darkness. And praise the Lord for that. And so as we look back here to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, and as we look to verse 23 again, we find here that he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That word sanctify is setting apart for God's purpose. Setting apart to be lights in a dark world. To be a Christian, someone who is Christ-like. To have a testimony for others to look to. And he says that we are to do that, not only sanctify you, but holy. Now, holy, that is W-H-O-L-L, that means our entire being, every individual, his entire being is made up of three different things. And he outlines that for us here. He says that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. If you will, be sanctified to be able to shine as lights for Christ. All need to be set apart and preserved blameless in the order, I believe, that he gives us here. Because as we were designed by God, God created us in his image after his likeness. And the Bible says, if you go back, or just let me read it to you, you possibly know the verse, but go back to Genesis and chapter 1, the beginning of all things, the Bible reveals to us where we come from. And he says in Genesis in chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2 in verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground." He formed man, man's body, the physical body that man has was formed out of the dust of the ground. And then this is something that is vitally important because it says, "And God, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." That's spirit. Because God is spirit. And man, as he formed the body, God designed the physical body of man, and then God himself, the creator of all things, breathed his breath into that body, and that body received life. That body had the life that is of God, which is spiritual. And man became a living soul. So we find here that the very same thing that Paul is writing to the believers in Thessalonica, as far as their whole being, is our whole being. It's God's design for humanity. We have this body, and in this body we find we have a spirit and we have a soul. And all needs to be set apart, holy, for God, sanctified and blameless. So in this order, the first thing that we look to here is spirit, the breath of life, the breath that makes you who you are, your spirit that came from God. That's an eternal spirit, because we were made in the image and after the likeness of God. And so we have this eternal spirit. But we find that God had told Adam that if he would sin, he would surely die. And we know the story. Adam took of the forbidden fruit. And we find that because God said, ye shall surely die, that he experienced death. The death that he experienced was that he started to age, and he would experience a physical death at some point. But what was most important about this death, it was a spiritual death. His spirit that God had breathed into him had been separated now from God. Because of sin, he found himself dead in sin. Because he said, if you sin, you shall surely die. And that took place when Adam committed that sin against God. Ephesians in chapter 2 is very important, because all of us, we have a spirit, but that spirit is born with a sin nature. That spirit is born as being separated from God because of the sin nature of man that has been passed down to all men because of Adam. We're all descendants of Adam. And that, as descendants, that sin nature has been passed down so that none of us are born saved. None of us are born righteous. We are all sinners. And so we find here in the book of Ephesians, after Adam's sin, he died spiritually, even though he still had a soul and body. So we find that idea of a spirit and soul can be separated. It's a triune being. We are all triune beings. As God is a Trinity, humanity is triune. That means that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And the spirit is what's most important, because that was the life that God breathed into the nostrils of the body that he created for Adam. And so as we had our bodies formed inside the wombs of our mothers, but God, at the very same time, is the one who placed that eternal spirit of every one of us into that womb, into that body that is being formed in pregnancy. And we find over here again in Ephesians in chapter 5, in verse 1, Ephesians in chapter 2, I'm sorry there. Ephesians in chapter 2, we're going to look down to verse 5 here as we look to verse 1 down to verse 5. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now he is addressing those believers in Ephesus, but we find here that God is addressing all of us. Because all of us are born sinners, and we all, because of a sin nature, are dead to God because of our trespasses and our sin. As we are dead to God, we need to be made alive unto God, and that is where he says he quickened us. To quicken is to bring back to life. And so here we find Ephesians in chapter 1 as Paul is addressing them, and you hath he quickened who were before you were quickened or made alive, dead to God in your trespasses and sins. And because of that, because you were dead in your trespasses and sins, before you were quickened, he says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Among whom we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He's quickened us together with Christ, and then he says here, by grace are you saved. Amen. When you get saved, you have been quickened or made alive unto God. In verse 8 he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Our part is belief. Our part is faith. Grace is God's part. For he so loved humanity that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would put their faith and trust in him, whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, you can't do it on your own. It is the gift, praise God, salvation, being made alive unto God is a gift that Jesus Christ gives everyone who will simply believe and trust in him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Being saved means that you receive this gift. Receiving this gift means that you have been made alive unto God. You have been quickened. Once quickened. Once you've been saved. Go back with me. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Our part in being preserved blameless. If you're saved here this morning, you have to realize if you've been saved, it's a gift. And you've been made alive unto God. And God now wants to sanctify you wholly. And God wants to preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord. For as long as we have left, for the rest of your life, God wants us to do these things. It's our part in being preserved and allowing the light of Christ to shine through us. What is that? Verse 15, follow that which is good. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Paul would write to those in the book of Philippians, and he would tell them before he would tell them to not to worry anymore. We studied this a few weeks ago, but he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Can I tell you, believer, we have much to rejoice in, no matter what we have to face in this world, no matter what we go through in this life. If you stay focused on the things that you can rejoice in, God wants you to rejoice in the Lord always. Even today, facing some of the things we're facing today, God is still on the throne. Isn't that something to rejoice over? God is not going to put more on us than what we're able to bear. Isn't that something to rejoice over? I'm saved, and if I do die, I've got heaven to look forward to. Isn't that something to rejoice over? Heaven is real. Glorified body is real. Praise the Lord. There's things that we can rejoice over. We need to choose to rejoice over those things that God would have us to rejoice over. And he says, rejoice evermore. You will have that for the rest of your life. You'll have things, no matter what you're facing, to rejoice over. He says, pray without ceasing. Always be aware of the presence of God. Knowing that I can communicate with Him and talk to Him and make my requests be made known unto Him at any and all times. That's something to rejoice over. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes we need what we need to do in order to change the atmosphere in the home, change the atmosphere in society, is when we do get together with our families, let's be thinking about what can we be thankful for? What can we rejoice over? Let's list some things that we can just thank God for right here, right now. What a blessing that would be. If people will do what the Bible says to do in order to preserve us blameless and be in the light that the world needs to see for Christ. Quench not the Spirit. Can I tell you that's something else to rejoice over? Knowing that if I've been quickened, I have the Spirit of God dwelling within me. Because when you get saved, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit of God to seal you into the day of redemption. He goes, comes inside of our bodies. He's within us. And through His Spirit, He directs our spirits, if we will allow Him to. His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit and leading us and to do and to accomplish things that God would have us to do and accomplish. And can I tell you, that's something that we will never have to be without the presence of God within us. Something to rejoice over. And something that He tells us not to quench. Be aware of and yielding to the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. What is that for New Testament Christianity? Despise not the preaching of what God has revealed to us. There are no new prophecies. There are no new truths. God has, the Bible has been completed. We have all the Word of God that we will ever have. What we need to do is understand it. We need to study it. We need to read it. We need to hear it preached. That's why we have been given the commandment to preach the word. As we assemble ourselves together, we have been given the commandment not just to preach, but to preach the word. Because it's the word that people need today. Despise not. Forsake not. And He says, prove all things. Know what you believe. Prove it. How do you prove it? Through the Bible. Prove it. Once it's been proved, once you know it's Bible, hold fast. Don't ever turn away from it. Don't be scared into turning away from it. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance. If I'm going to be preserved blameless, if I'm going to continue to let my light shine for Christ as a born-again believer, these are things that we need to do and that we can do. And as we do them, then we can be that light that the world needs. And they'll point them to Jesus Christ for the help that they are looking for the peace and the calm that they're looking for. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace. Here it is. This is what we're preaching. Sanctify you wholly. And then He says, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Our spiritual life must be maintained if we are to shine as lights. Can I tell you that is the most important thing? To make sure that you have spiritual life. Yeah. And that you are maintaining spiritual life. The next thing is soul. Man became a living soul. What the Bible says. that spirit came from God because God is spirit. Now we find that man is spirit because God gave us a spirit. He breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he received that life of the spirit. When Adam died spiritually, he still had a soul and body. Soul is an awareness of self. If you will, it's connected to man's conscience. Something different than animals. Humanity was designed with a conscience, an awareness of themselves. Jesus, Matthew chapter 26, look there with me. Matthew chapter 26. It's important. You cannot maintain these things if you don't understand these things. And we are to be preserved blameless, our whole being, our spirit, and our soul, and our body, but our soul. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Wow. All thy heart. It's our emotions, our feelings, the seat of our emotions. Our mind is our thoughts, things that we have going on inside of our minds, which are connected to our soul. Our soul. In Matthew chapter 26, just a couple more chapters over, look there with me in verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. His soul. Jesus' spirit was God. Do you understand? His spirit was God. That's who he was. He was God in human flesh. So he could identify with humanity. And in human flesh, when this was taking place, he presented his soul. Not his spirit, but his soul. Is exceeding sorrowful. His soul was aware of his earthly body. In my physical life that I live, and your physical life that you live, we must keep our conscience focused on my spiritual life. Loving God. With all of our souls. How do we do this? Same way that we keep our spiritual life where it needs to be. Verse 15 down to verse 22. Follow that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesy. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And you will be preserved blameless in your soul, your conscience, your self-awareness. You will be preserved blameless. And you will be sanctified holy. So that you might do a work for God and you might have a testimony that the world needs to see. I don't know about you. I'm getting goosebumps. Praise the Lord. What a powerful truth. We do the same thing in order to make sure that we are preserving our spirits as we ought to preserve our spirit. We are preserving our souls as we ought to preserve our souls. It might be useful in serving God. The last thing he says is body. The body is also referred to as our flesh. You can't rely upon your body for your spirit, nor for your soul. It will direct you in a wrong direction. Because the flesh is sinful. Yeah. Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. Everybody follow me this morning? Amen. Hopefully everybody on live stream follow me as well. And you're rejoicing. I think I heard somebody from the camera back there say amen. So praise the Lord for that. Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. He had a body like your body and my body. And for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you understand that? You're allowing the Spirit to control your flesh, your body. You're not allowing the body to control your spirit. You're not allowing the body to control your soul. You're doing what the Bible says we need to do in order to have your spirit and your soul be preserved blameless, to be used of God, to have a testimony of light. This body is the very same thing it's talking about here, that we need to make sure that we have our bodies bring it unto subjection. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're allowing your body to control your spirit and your body control your soul, you're not pleasing God as we do that. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're not saved. If you are saved, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You feed the Spirit, and the Spirit will control the body. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, yes, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. After salvation, our bodies become temples. Because of God living in us, changes things. Our bodies now house not only our spirit, but it houses God's Spirit. He is sealed inside of us. Paul would write to the church at Corinth, who needed to understand this as we do today. In verse 16, he says, know ye not, chapter 3 and verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Our part in preserving our bodies blameless. That's what God would have us. But what's our part in making sure that our bodies are under control and yielded to the spirit and the soul? Same thing. Verse 15 down to verse 22. Follow that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's our part. We continue to do this until the battle comes to an end. The battle will come to an end with either our physical death or the rapture. Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until that day, which could be soon. We are to be sanctified, holy, spirit, soul, and body. It's our part. Doing these things will change your life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Doing these things will change our lives. It will prepare us for whatever we have to face. But God gives us a free will. And with that free will, we have to choose. I trust we'll make the right choices. Father, we bow before you this morning, and we thank you for the truth of your word. And God, as you have outlined these things and how important they are in our lives to help us spiritually, to help our souls, to help our physical life, I pray, God, that we would yield to that and that we would be blameless unto the coming of our Lord. Bless now in the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.